Well, we talked in depth about Odyssey Charter School a couple of weeks ago, so we're not going to recover that ground, but I do want to ask, how much do the issues that that school is having overshadow anything else that has happened this year with charters and kind of become the primary focal point of charter discussion at this point?
Well, I guess as far as overshadowing goes, what's freshest in the news is certainly a factor here, and Odyssey was the subject of the most recent discussion, most recent controversy over charter schools. Also, Odyssey is a big school with 1,800 students, so that's about 11% of the state's charter school enrollment overall, so that makes it significant too. More to the point that you're getting at here, though, is, you know, the problems at Odyssey don't involve academics, and the problems are fixable, provided the school's board of directors cleans up its practices and policies to remove conflicts of interest and to act with more transparency. So, yeah, it's a problem, but it's one that's it's solvable, and I think we'll be able to move on from it.
As you said, it is solvable. Odyssey's not likely to lose its charter. Probation seems like the most likely outcome. But two charters did close this year, Design Thinking and Public Safety and Security. We've covered both of those schools previously. Design Thinking, as people may recall, struggled despite receiving a $10 million grant to create a model school. What ultimately happened there?
Well, you know, when Design Thinking was just a proposal, and it was originally known as the Design Lab High School, I believe I was the first journalist to write about it. And I saw its curriculum as one that really seemed to have some great potential. The school's journey had one incredible high, but its leaders were unable to overcome far too many lows. The high was incredible, as you mentioned, being a winner of a $10 million grant in a national competition to design a prototype for what was being called a super school of the future. As for the lows, well, they started when the school's founder, Christina Alvarez, couldn't secure a lease on the property that she wanted on Market Street in downtown Wilmington. So the school wound up in the Faith City Church complex near Christiana Mall. Then Design Lab opened at the same time as three other charter schools that were all serving a similar demographic. So as it turned out, with this competition for students in that same group, all four wound up starting with more empty seats than they had anticipated. So then this Super School prize arrives at the start of Design Lab's second year. The school was still building its organizational structure and wasn't really set up to manage that grant properly. Then some new members were chosen for the school's board of directors. The new leaders weren't pleased with how Alvarez was managing the school. There may have been a little bit of infighting over that grant money too and who got to control it. So Alvarez leaves the school, and whether she's forced out or whether she's resigned, there's some controversy over that, but either way, she's gone. Then the board struggles to find a new leader. More controversies follow. Enrollment never picked up. So by May of this year, it was obvious that the school just wasn't going to have enough students to run next year. So last month, the board surrendered its charter.
How about the Public Safety and Security School?
Well, again, a little bit more irony here. The Public Safety and Security Academy, which closed last September, had its original home at the Faith City Church complex near Christiana Mall, the very same place where Design Lab wound up locating after Public Safety moved over to the old Our Lady of Fatima school complex on DuPont Highway near Newcastle. Again, like Design Lab, the Public Safety and Security Academy had issues with poor management, and that included filing some questionable enrollment reports. There was an attempt made in early first half of 2018 to rescue the school. It included some talk of the Colonial School District getting involved with training the school's teachers, and a number of different pieces to that particular proposal and the rescue plan. But in May of 2018, as part of this agreement, the school said that it would have 200 students enrolled by September of 2018. September rolls around, fewer than 200 students show up, and a couple of weeks later, the board surrenders its charter.
We also saw three schools, Great Oaks Academy, Freire in Wilmington, and First Aid Military in Clayton, get their charter renewals, but at lower enrollment levels. Those approvals, with the two closures, might suggest to some that charters are on a downward trend line, but your piece suggests that that interpretation might be a little too superficial, that there are some positive signs for charters to point to. What are some of those positive signs?
Well, I think, you know, one thing to mention with regard to those enrollment projections, charter school operators have, it seems, been pretty traditionally over-optimistic in their enrollment projections when they submit their original charter applications. And, you know, so far the state has been willing to let the schools scale back those projections a couple of years later, especially if the school appears to be run well and appears to be developing a strong academic program. And I do think that might change in the future. If the schools do a little bit better front-end analysis and the charter school office does a little bit better homework and analysis as well, we may get some more realistic enrollment projections at startup. Now, as for the positive signs, first one is the expansion of the Las Americas Aspira Academy outside of Newark. This dual language Spanish-English immersion school now serves kindergarten through eighth grade. A year from now, it's going to start adding high school grades. Also, the Eastside Charter School, which primarily serves low-income students in Wilmington, is adding an honors program this year. And this program is a little different from your typical elementary, middle school type honors program. It includes partnerships with several education-focused community organizations and with four well-known private schools in northern Newcastle County: Tower Hill, Tatnall, Wilmington Friends, and Sanford. The idea here is to open the eyes of kids who are living in poverty to the possibility of getting a private school education and to prepare them for the rigorous private school experience if down the road they do choose to move in that direction.
And there are some signs that while the northern part of the state may have maxed out on charter schools, at least for now, two new schools may be coming in Sussex County, where charters have largely been absent over the years. Let's start with Sussex Montessori, which seems to be the closer of the two to opening. What can you tell us about that school that's coming to Sussex?
Okay, Sussex Montessori, it's pretty much a sure thing. It has all of the needed approvals from the state to open a kindergarten through third grade program for about 260 students in the fall of 2020, and then add a grade a year until it becomes a K-6 school in 2023. The school would be located on the former Wheaton Farm on the west side of Seaford. Organizers say they're targeting the area from Bridgeville to Laurel in western Sussex, and they hope that a majority of their students will come from either minority or low-income families.
And then there's the Brian Stevenson School for Excellence. What's its story?
Okay, well, the Stevenson School, it would be a high school, and the organizers plan to apply for a charter later this year. So this is not quite in the sure thing category. Now, if they win approval for their charter application, that would come next spring, and then that would put the school on track to open as early as the fall of 2021. Now, the school's organizers are looking for a site in the Georgetown, Milton, Lincoln area in central to eastern Sussex County. The school is named for Brian Stevenson. He's a Milton native, Cape Henlopen High School graduate, who's gained national recognition for his founding and leading the Equal Justice Initiative, which is a nonprofit organization dedicated to providing legal representation to people who have been wrongly convicted, to prisoners who lack the resources to pay for legal representation, and to people who have been denied a fair trial. Alana Berry, who is a founder and the chairperson of the school's board of directors, says the concept that they're working on is to create a school that's based on service learning. They would bring nonprofits and community organizations in as partners in the educational operation, and these nonprofits and community organizations would also give students workplace experiences that parallel what they're learning in the classroom.
Is there a reason Sussex County has not seen more charters before now, and is there a sense of what the level of interest in charters is in Sussex County?
Well, again, this is somewhat speculative here. I mean, the county only has one charter school, the Sussex Academy for the Arts and Sciences, which is nearly 20 years old. It's a middle and high school. It's located in Georgetown, fairly centrally located. So that's sort of a plus for it. But you know, another charter opened in 2001, and it didn't even last a year. So why haven't charters taken hold in Sussex? I'm going to say, the basic reason is that this is still largely a rural area, strong tradition of local schools in the county. You know, and when we're talking rural, that means that your local school isn't necessarily around the corner, but it might be 3, 4, 5 miles away. If you just apply that logic and toss a charter school into the mix, there's a very strong likelihood that the charter school for many people is going to be farther away than the neighborhood school, the so-called neighborhood school, is. And if you like your neighborhood school, there might not be a whole lot of reason to travel even farther to go for a charter. So now, if you start looking at why we're getting new charters now, there haven't been many choices, as I've indicated, for Sussex families. So now, if you're going to start by offering Sussex families a choice, there's something to be said for going with the Montessori method, and series of educational theories that have won a pretty good following in many parts of the country for 110 years. So, that's kind of a safe starting point. There's probably some sort of a critical mass. We're not quite sure how large that would be interested in this approach. Now, Linda Zankowski, who's the head of the Sussex Montessori Board, says she's hopeful that there's enough interest here that they'll be able to hold a lottery because they would like to get even more applicants than there are seats available. If they get a lottery, that certainly proves the point that there's interest. As for the Stevenson School, Alana Berry points out that they had a fundraiser a couple of weeks ago in Rehoboth, and as far as she's concerned, if you can raise funds for a school, that's definitely an indicator of community interest. All of the tickets that they had available were sold. So whether this base constitutes a critical mass or not, that remains to be seen. But there is certainly a level of interest there.
And certainly, there's some good news for charters on the horizon in the coming months as the state begins handing out funds from almost $10.5 million grant meant to increase charter enrollment in the state. Do we have any more clarity on exactly how these dollars may wind up being spent?
Well, these decisions, whatever decisions are made here, likely to be announced within the next week or so, certainly by the end of the month, by the State Department of Education. This money is going to be handed out over 3 years. And in the grant budget, there was a $1.5 million set aside to support the creation of 2 new charter schools. Sussex Montessori, we know, has applied for one of those awards because they're the only one in the mix right now that would qualify. It's conceivable that they could receive as much as $800,000 when these award announcements is made later on this month. Lesser amounts of funds, averaging $500,000 per school, are available for charters who are expanding their programs. Las Americas Aspira, by adding the high school program in another year or so, they could qualify for this money. So could a couple of other schools that haven't quite built out to the full grade levels that they're planning. That would include Great Oaks and First State Montessori in Wilmington. So they could also qualify. We'll have to see in a couple of weeks what happens there. The grants are, I said the average is $500,000. That's based on the budget. They could get more, they could get less. We'll just have to see how that goes.
So having looked at all this, absorbed it, taking a step back now, is there a sense of what the state of charter schools are is in Delaware, or maybe at least a fair assessment of what the trend line is at this point?
Well, as I've talked to people, I've kind of coined my own little phrase here, and I'm referring to it as educational Darwinism. In the last 5 years or so, we've had about 10 charter schools in the state out of a total of 25 or so that have run into some sort of problems. You know, and the ones that can't attract students, the ones that fail to develop a strong curriculum, the ones that suffer from poor management, they've shown a remarkable tendency to disappear. You know, either the state shuts them down or they voluntarily surrender their charters. Meanwhile, the ones that are managed well and provide strong academics do manage to attract and hold more students. So they thrive, they prosper. You know, as I've indicated in any number of conversations here over the years, I have not really been impressed with the frequent difficulties encountered by charter schools. And in my view, there have been far too many examples of bad management and weak oversight that charter school supporters have tended to excuse by, asserting, the old charter school promise. You know, if it's not run well, it deserves to close. Well, my belief is that, something's wrong when bad management occurs so frequently as it has within the charter school community. However, as I'm suggesting today, there is more than a little bit of educational Darwinism occurring in Delaware's charter school environment. And it'll be a great day when we can look at whatever the list of the state's charter schools happens to be at some point in the future, and honestly look at that list and say, only the strong survive.